Palestinian Christians will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur, and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. Tonight on Prison Pipeline, we are joined by Karen Mockren in studio. Karen is a criminal defense attorney who specializes in, among other populations, representing transgender clients. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm good to be here with you.
So, Karen, let's start with let's just talk a little bit about who you are. You're an attorney. So, how did you get involved in? How did you become interested in the law?
Oh gosh, how did I become interested in the law? That would be from when I was very young. I think in fourth grade, many of us were taken from our regular coursework and put in a so-called quote-unquote gifted class, and we ended up studying law and politics, and we did mock trials, and around that time also my maternal grandfather was very into law and politics, and so I was kind of hooked from a very early age. I was a very strange kid in that regard, and became very passionate as I learned even in like fourth and fifth grade about when we are putting someone on trial for a crime, that there are procedures and rights that we hold sacred under our Constitution, and making sure that people are accorded and afforded those rights is really, really matters to me. And so you said I specialize in trans people. I don't know if I'd say I specialize in representing trans people, but I certainly have represented many transgender people, and I've certainly also won a lot of jury trials. So
thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
So then, like, moving forward in time a little bit, where did you go for your JD?
UC Berkeley. We called it BOLT at that time. I ultimately graduated in 07. My law school career was a little prolonged for a disability that I have, so it took me a little longer than the typical 3 years, but I stuck it out, and so here I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you've been practicing for about 10 years then?
I'm going into my ninth year of actual practice. I had clerked for a while for a lot of attorneys and kind of learned the craft of criminal defense, and that was in both California and Oregon, and I had interned at the Marin County Public Defender's Office in Marin County, California. When I then moved up to Oregon, I took the bar here and decided this is where I was going to settle and stay. And I ended up opening my own practice for a while. I had a law firm that I started with several colleagues. And I also handled for a local firm in Washington County an indigent defense docket, so what would be a public defense docket for people who could not afford their own attorneys. And now I am back solo, and very, very happily so. So I'm accepting new clients and very happy to fight for anybody who comes through my door. So.
Oh, that's great. What was it like doing the public defense docket? I'm just curious about that.
In Washington County, it's rough. There's a lot of cases that are coming all the time. There is an unfortunate kind of assembly line feel to it. I am the type of attorney, I want to give each and every individual who comes into my office and is sitting before me frightened, vulnerable, and worried, and they're not sure if they can trust me, and I need to gain their trust, and I want to make sure I have read their file and gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb, make sure that if I'm not missing anything, I don't want to leave any stone unturned on the road to acquittal, if in fact there is one. There may not be that pathway, but every stone along the path is going to be unturned. That can get somewhat difficult when you're managing a caseload that is just this immense volume, and triaging the cases is something that it's a genuine talent, and the people that can triage cases really, really well and do that quickly, I have immense respect for. My talents are more in delving into any particular case very deeply and analyzing it and giving the client very special attention and saying, if you're telling me you did not do this, or I think that you have a way out one way or another, then I want to find it. And so I'm happy to be in the position where I'm in now, where I can choose to do that for every client that I have.
So we met a couple of weeks back at the OSB CLE for representing LGBTQ
right.
And case law changes. And what was your presentation about at that seminar?
That presentation was about representing transgender clients who are criminal defendants through the process of analyzing a case when you first meet them, and then all the way to jury trial, assuming that's where it's going to go, and how to talk to the prosecutors, how to talk to your potential jurors in a process that we call voir dire, which is, you know, Latin for questioning the potential jurors. Lawyers like to speak Latin because we're obnoxious.
Veni, vidi, vici.
I can actually imagine several people screaming that out in court. I can probably imagine myself screaming that out in court and having a lot of fun with it. But that was what the presentation was guiding a transgender person and explaining to other attorneys that were there to hear the presentation, whether they were in criminal defense or not, largely how to approach a transgender client, especially if they've have no familiarity with it. And I was trying to teach people how to empathize with the experience and how to then translate their own empathy to then project it so that a judge gets it, so the prosecutor gets it, so that a jury gets it.
Yeah.
And that you're doing a little more than just knowing nomenclature and words. I think one of the things that I said was, you know, it's great that everyone's becoming familiar with terminology, but you shouldn't just know the words, you should know the music. Mm-hmm. And so that was largely what I was trying to convey. I hope that came off well.
Yes, it did. Yeah, transgender people have got a lot of challenges when it comes to their interactions and their engagements with the criminal justice system.
That is an understatement, yes.
Yeah. I think transgender people are likely to enter into contact with the criminal justice system through, you know, multiple locations, through substance abuse, through property crimes, through assault charges,
mm-hmm.
And through crimes of indigence, which often happen because transgender folks can end up in the streets, they can end up unemployed. And people who don't have money, who don't have resources, they still need to live.
Absolutely.
And they still need to have their needs met. in addition, transgender people have a lot of challenges that come from just the day-to-day life of being trans.
Yes.
In our culture, accessing healthcare,
yes,
trying to get good employment, being free and safe from harassment from people in the community.
And all for merely expressing their authentic self.
Right.
All for the apparently major crime of saying, I identify as whatever that is, and society saying, we don't agree with your subjective assessment of your own self. Mm-hmm. And that is outrageous. The only person who has access to the subjective thing that answers to the name of me is me. And yeah, for anyone to say, the way you resonate as yourself, that is not really what you're feeling, is it's a huge violation. I mean, I actually think that it should somewhere be embedded as a constitutional right. The right to express one's sense of self ought to be a fundamental right. It mm-hmm. should be a right, a liberty that is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, as one judge put it when trying to define the concept of fundamental rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the unfortunate position that trans people are in our society at large. And then in the court systems, it just gets all that much worse. So it behooves any attorney who is charged with representing a transgender person and taking them through this arduous and awful process for anyone, and making sure that they understand that that's what's going on, that this is a person who is very simply, whatever your preconceived notions, all this person is doing is manifesting and expressing their sense of their self, something to which only they have subjective access. And once you can start to see that self in that person, it goes all that much better in terms of getting their respect and gaining their trust. Certainly in criminal defense, one of the most profound challenges, especially doing court-appointed work, is to gain the trust of your clients, because they tend to think sometimes that you're just part of the system and you don't care about them and you'll shuffle them off. And then it can be doubly hard with a trans person who might think, well, this person before me may not care about me anyway. If they find out I'm trans, they're going to just shuffle me off even worse and in an even worse fashion. And there's just no reason to do that, as long as people understand what it is that's going on. And self-expression is beautiful, and being trans is beautiful. So I wish more people would recognize it, and I'm hopeful that the Oregon Bar is really starting to get it. I mean, just the fact that they put that symposium together,
yeah,
is awesome. So the
Masterpiece Cake Shop,
yeah. Right. Yes, mm-hmm. They do like their clever titles for their CLEs.
So I was wondering, we were chatting before the show, and you were mentioning how transgender became a protected legal class in Oregon. Just for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, can you explain just pretty briefly, how did transgender become a protected class here in Oregon?
Oh, sure. I'm not an expert in this by any means, so
Yeah, just a rough sketch.
I fear that I might be trespassing on other people's areas of expertise and get something slightly wrong here, but my understanding of the law as I read it, the text of the law, we had in Oregon for a very long time had sexual orientation protected as a specially protected class, such that you were free from discrimination, that it could not be used against you in certain situations. It cannot be, you can't be fired on the basis of sexual orientation. And when the legislature and the population of Oregon was becoming more aware of trans issues and wanted to make transgender a protected class, it seemed as though one of the quickest routes perhaps to do this legislatively, although again, I don't know exactly what process they went through or what bargains were made, but rather than create all these new laws, they included gender identity under the umbrella of sexual orientation. And I realized that in and of itself could court some controversy among the LGBT community if we're being very careful to distinguish among sexual orientations and genders and explain the difference between the two. But it got the job done, at least in terms of making sure that trans people got the same rights as gay people. So,
right. So,
as a practical matter, perhaps one day they can revise the law to reflect common verbiage, but common verbiage is always a little beyond the law anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's good to know. That's just really interesting. So you are a criminal defense attorney. So
yes.
You're like, when trans folks come to you,
mm-hmm.
and again, I understand you don't specialize in that, but you are available.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if someone's trans, gender non-binary, gender fluid,
mm-hmm.
and they come to you, normally that means that either they've been accused of mm-hmm. something, or is that
generally, yeah. I meet with people once they have already been charged with a crime.
So it's not quite the same as when we're talking about protected class. We're talking more about people who are concerned that they lost their job because they were trans, or
right.
Whereas this is more just ordinary, like,
yeah,
criminality stuff.
I did some civil rights work early in my career, but have gravitated to criminal defense. I really feel that that is my home in the law. It's where my passions lie. I do what is also what I refer to as quasi-criminal defense, so defending where you're defending against what are essentially criminal charges, like assault or domestic violence, but you're actually defending yourself in civil court instead of criminal court, which is a wholly different ballgame. So for instance, like restraining orders, stalking orders, contempt of court proceedings, none of these are criminal proceedings like you would see on, say, Law and Order. I don't even know if that show's still on, but I imagine.
Oh yeah, it's on in reruns.
It's on in reruns, right? Yes, it will be on forever. The civil court is very different, and but I will go into that arena defending people against what are virtually criminal charges, but not actually criminal charges,
right.
under the law. And occasionally I switch sides and I will help domestic violence victims do petitions for restraining orders. And,
oh, wow.
And I will absolutely help out abuse victims when it's genuine. I can see what you know. I could see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And yeah. So.
And everybody. I mean, everybody has times that they mess up. Maybe that they don't make the best decisions for themselves. So sometimes they might come to you and need representation. Or they might be
sure.
falsely accused.
Or they might be falsely accused. That happens more often than we want to admit as a society.
Yeah.
One of the most common questions people will ask upon learning that I'm a criminal defense attorney is like, oh gosh, how do you reconcile in your mind? I mean, you know that they're guilty, and it's like, whoa, stop. No, I do not know that.
Right.
There are plenty of cases that probably shouldn't get pled out, that probably should go to trial and can be won. That, of course, is the client's call. That's something that we as criminal defense attorneys have to explain to anybody in our charge, that there are decisions that you're going to have to make that I can't make for you. I make the strategic decisions. I figure out how to argue best. But in terms of if you want a trial, that is your fundamental right. I can't take it from you. I can't say you cannot have one. No one can say that. There are other decisions that you have to make too, like whether you want to testify in your own defense or whether you want to remain silent, whether you want a jury trial or a judge trial. So a lot of my job becomes educating as best I can. That's part of the duty of communication under our ethics code, and educating people as to how to make this decision and what the stakes are. And so, yeah, the basically, once people, I would love it if people would come to me before they get in trouble, mostly because I think people need to learn their rights. And we live in a society where we don't actually teach civics anymore. We don't in our public schools and even in private schools. I don't see a lot of civics education about what your rights are as an Oregonian, what your rights are as an American citizen, how to handle a police encounter, how to protect yourself just as a suspect. And I would love for people to be more educated about that up front, especially transgender people, but really anybody who is going to be intimidated by the police. Just their very presence can be intimidating when they're looking at you as the person that they're targeting for arrest.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be great. Maybe we can have you back on, Karen, on a future show to do kind
just,
of
just
like,
talk about the, yeah, that. That'd be great.
To do
yeah.
Know Your Rights. I mean, I would love that.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah. We, occasionally we have people from the ACLU and we'll do, mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time though that we did a Know Your Rights, like a whole show. I mean, I've sat through lots of Know Your Rights trainings, like over at the Muslim Education Center and like different like peace groups I've been involved in, you know. But this would be really good for, you know, for the show. So we'll talk about that. But anyways, getting back to the program. So people come to you and they're seeking representation. And they may or may not be trans. What do you need the jury? What do you need people to know about trans folks to really effectively represent them?
Well,
the jury and the judge.
The jury and the judge. Well, unfortunately, as far as we've come in society, I still think that if the jury or judge or even DA does not have to know that a defendant is trans until it's absolutely necessary, that it's probably best to keep it out of the equation, because I think it's unfortunately inherently prejudicial information, and it could lead anyone to make a decision based on their biases toward trans individuals as opposed to just the facts of the case. But to the extent that for whatever reason it's going to be known, then in the voir dire process, if I'm going to be in front of a jury and I'm going to start asking the jury for the jury pool and its individual members for opinions and understandings, I will see if I can begin to educate as I'm doing this. So as I was talking about, just this is somebody expressing their own sense of self. And see if I can get the jurors talking among themselves about maybe they actually can they empathize, can they not? Mostly I want to find out from a jury pool what the jury is actually thinking, because we're going to try to get people on the jury that are hopefully going to acquit my client. So I need to learn all the various thoughts that are running through the potential jurors' heads, and I have to then talk to them in a manner that elicits that. And I want people to be as honest as possible and just explain what they think, or maybe that they just don't get it. And in the process, try to see if I can get people to understand that sense of self, and then that it has nothing to do with anything most of the time. 99% of the time, the mere fact that someone is transgender has nothing to do with whether they committed the crime with which they are charged. So what do I need them to know about trans people?
But it does play a role in their perception.
It absolutely plays a role in their perception.
When you're doing jury selection and when you're talking to potential jurors, I know that just like any other series of factors that you have to consider, you have to look at their bias.
Absolutely.
And so,
I mean, I've had
having sensitivity towards that, I think it's good to have a defense attorney who has a sensitivity towards that issue.
Yes. I think it is imperative for any defense attorney who is going to defend a transgender criminal defendant, and really any attorney who's going to take on a trans client in any forum, to understand what that experience is, at least to the best that they might be able to. And I don't know how much people necessarily, you know, get it in scare quotes. And I wish that people would get it more, which is partly why I did the presentation that I did. And I think the bar at this point in history really wants lawyers to understand what's going on and what is it to be trans, and why is this just another human being that you're sharing the planet with, and can you get yourself there to actually see this person's self? And if you can get somebody, if you can see a person's self, that's everything. That's the validation we all need, not just trans people. That's just the validation we all need to have our true selves actually seen. And if attorneys can do that for their clients, I think they're going to have a much better relationship with their clients and build that trust that can be so difficult to achieve.
Well, Karen, we're getting near the end of our time for the show. This has been such an interesting conversation.
Thank you.
I think we're going to need to continue this on a future show if you're available.
I would be more than happy to continue this at any point.
Yeah, because I don't think I even got to like a lot of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. I know that you mentioned something that you did that was very impressive that affected Oregon law, and so I'd like to get to that in a second part of the show.
Sure.
And also I want to talk more about representing trans clients. Mm-hmm. But just for our viewers, again, you are Karen Mochran.
Yep, Karen Mochran, middle initial J. So it's sort of de rigueur in the legal community to have a middle initial. So it's Karen J. Mochran. My phone number is 503-752-6340. My email is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at criminaldefensekm, so the words criminal defense and my initials, just all as one word, .com. And that's the website as well, www.criminaldefensekm.com. Although as of the date of this interview, if you do put that into your search box on your internet, on your browser, you will get my placeholder page because I am working on the actual website and it will be up soon. But I can still be contacted there, so anyone can feel free to call me or text me or email me.
Great, thank you. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you, Karen, on Prison Pipeline, and I look forward to having you on again maybe in about a month or so.
Fantastic.
That would be really great, and we'll continue this conversation. We'll be talking some more about what it's like representing transgender clients and what juries, judges, and you know, people need to know, and maybe we'll get into a little bit of some of the work that you've done that changed the law here in Oregon.
I would be more than happy to do that. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This is great.
Great, thank you, and have a good night, everyone. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Community Radio. Good night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on Thursday, October 11th at 7 p.m., we'll celebrate Dia de los Muertos. Muertos Film and Music Night will highlight some of the Dia de los Muertos traditions of Mexico, Central and South America. We'll screen authentic Day of the Dead short films and feature live performances by Virginia Lopez, Mariachi Portland, and more. Again, that's a film celebration of Dia de los Muertos, Thursday, October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Palestinian Film Festival, October 5th to the 7th, at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in downtown Portland. From Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, the theater will feature films by and about Palestinians and the Israeli occupation.
The Stones Cry Out, a film about Palestinian Christians, will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 7 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is time for Hard Knock Radio.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, news, views, and hip-hop.
This is Sister Soulja on Hard Knock Radio. Listen closely.
¿Qué pasa, raza? This is Deuce Eclipse, the Oi Joaquin, Yo Parte Chino. Check it out. Listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Hey, this is Patrice Rushen. And whenever I'm in the Bay Area and I need good information and great radio, it's all about Hard Knock Radio.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. For people who don't know, the city of Oakland, where we're at right now, is...